Hey, we want to welcome y'all back to another episode of the Freedom Train podcast series. I am Joseph Ward. I want to give a shout out to my co-host, Patrick Irvin. He running a little late. He behind. What up? Give a shout out to Pat. Life be happening. So, you know, every time life happens, I'm still holding it down for my man, Pat, because he got a lot going on. He helped this network do what it do. So shout out to Pat. Hey, remember that the Freedom Train podcast series is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a Black development organization aimed at developing the Black community to its maximum potential through a focus on economics and hard work with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit the website at PACTSINC.org. I almost forgot what I'm supposed to say. But remember, PACTSINC.org. And check that website out. That website is amazing. You know, they have the codes of conduct, how you can learn more about the organization, how you can become a member, how you can donate, how you can get involved. And of course, you already know from my returning listeners, my favorite part is that learning center when you hit that drop down box and all that information come in there with the audio information, political information, audio books, survival information, legal cases, all that information is available, PACTSINC.org. And don't you forget about that Amazon Smile program. So Amazon got a program called Amazon Smile, for those who don't know, where it connects nonprofit organizations with buyers, like people like me and you on Amazon. So you go to Amazon, you buy something, but you sign up with the Amazon Smile program. And signing up with that Amazon Smile program, that means when you buy stuff through that program, a portion of your proceeds will go to the nonprofit organization that you choose. And that nonprofit organization should be PACTSINC. So once again, the website, PACTSINC.org. Make sure y'all visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Joseph Ward, my homeboy, Patrick Irvin, Enigma September, Shelby Davis, and Queen Candace. All the podcasts, the Enigma September podcast, Shelby's World, Lessons from the Screen, the Fix Sports podcast, Freedom Train podcast series, as well as On the Shoulders of Giants. And remember that the Freedom Train book club is also coming soon. We got that happening. All right, so today, we got a good interview for you today. We got a gentleman who I first learned about when I graced the halls of the great James S. Rickards High School, right? So he is the president and CEO of Right Touch Sports Management Incorporated. He played college football at Edward Waters College, set records at Edward Waters. Had tryouts with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Spent some time playing football in Canada. Sports management is something that he's into. He's into music. He's an all-around entrepreneur. He's a gentleman that took the life lessons that he had, took the information that he learned from his time in school, and put it all together and decided to create a platform for itself that's continuing to grow, even with a new podcast that he dropped on everybody that we're going to learn about. So a musician, a podcaster, an entrepreneur, a person who is stout in the sports management community. So I want everybody to get y'all virtual hand claps together for my homeboy, Mr. Clifford Jackson III. What it is,
yes,
man.
Sir. What's happening, homie?
Man, I'm good. Everything good with you?
Man, try to do the best I can with what I got, Jay.
That's what's about up, it, man.
My brother. Yeah,
that's
man. Absolutely.
That's what's
absolutely
up, man. So when I read through your information, before we get into it, like what I love about this is how we learn more about people. Because I knew what I knew. I knew about you from the athletic standpoint. I knew about you from your determination standpoint, because it's two people that came through Rickards that amazed me as far as never giving up. It's you and Marlon Napier. No matter what folk told y'all, y'all stuck to y'all plan that y'all had for yourself. So definitely got to give a hats off to that. No problem, man. No, you deserve it. Like, I knew about you in the athletic sense, but all the other accomplishments that you have, Man, congratulations, man. I just want to start off with that. Just congratulations for the journey that you've taken and just the bricks that you've laid along your path. Like I had no idea you had all that on your plate. I had no idea you had all that talent in you, man.
Bruh, I mean, just, you know, it's funny to hear it coming back from other people and other folks' perspective of you when they view you, man. And I graciously appreciate it, man. I really, truly do, man. Just, you know, God has always been, you know, the head of my life with a lot of things, and he's blessed me with so much, man, to the point where it was just like, you know, you're blessed with so many talents, you just can't sit on them all.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And at some point, you don't want to be too overbearing. You don't want to overdo it or overthink. You don't want to feel like you're doing too much. But one thing I've learned, or what was taught to me, if it's in you, you got to bring it out. So, right. And that's just been one thing that just been a part of my, you know, main formula in going into life, man. Just, you know, if people, the lights is on, you got to perform. So at some point, you know, you just can't stand right. up and not do nothing.
Right.
You
know? Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. So every opportunity, I just tried to, you know, whatever stage it was, I just always wanted to make sure I did it big and hopefully achieved it and did it the best that I could. And whatever happened after that, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But it's been a blessing.
Nah, that's what's up. That's what's up.
Man.
All right. So I know who you are. And like I said, still learning new things, but I know who you are. I want to give my audience a chance to get to know you better. So for those who don't know you, give us some background information about who is Clifford Jackson III. And also, one thing I forgot to mention in the intro, that should have been one of the first things I said. How did a former athlete become a community activist?
Oh, man. Good question. First off, let me just say thank you for having me on your platform, bro. I love your show. I've been following you since you started.
I appreciate it.
And I'm just happy to, you know, finally be able to get on your show, man. But to ask you a question, how did an athlete become a community activist? You know what? Coming up in Tallahassee, Florida, growing up on the south side of town, in South City, shout out to South City, Orange Avenue,
right.
High School, all that good stuff. Coming from that
right.
part of town, man, it's designed for brothers like us to not make it. You know what I'm saying? So when you see that and then you go off and you achieve things that you didn't believe that you could, you want to be that example to be able to come back to your community and showcase to those kids, let alone not even the kids, but the folks that's still there that you grew up with. And the folks that monitored you or watched you as you came up in the hood. You know, those same people are still there sometimes. So for me to be able to come back and let those folks know, hey, I see where we still are, and I want you to know you don't have to be here. And if you are here, let's make here better. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not in the sense of, you know, empowering yourself, wanting to have better for yourself, advancing your career, advancing who you are, advancing yourself as the person and individual that you are. And if I can do all the things that I've done and have been able to accomplish and come back to be a voice and a face that people can acknowledge, let alone recognize and identify with, and be able to go off and talk for my people and be a backbone for my people because I came from this area. I mean, it was a no-brainer for me to be able to, you know, do that platform and getting involved with the South City Foundation. Shout out to the South City Foundation.
Right.
Knowing my background from being from South City and just knowing what they're doing and the steps that they're taking, they just felt like it wasn't a no better person than for me to be able to utilize my name, my platform, and what I've done, who I am, to come back to the community, man, and just be, you know, that example and just be that person right there with them, man.
That's what's up. That's what's up. And what's up, Pat? We got my homeboy Pat in the building. He Rickers High alumni.
Pat, what's good, homie?
No much. Don't draw attention. I'm late again.
Pat, you drew attention to yourself being late.
Yeah, well, they know I'm late because they're watching the interview.
Come on, don't do this to me. It's all good. Hey, man, I got to take my shots when I can. You always talking junk. So. Hey, no, but I do have one follow-up with that. Being that you working on the South Side, Are there, because I've heard about plans to quote unquote revitalize the South Side.
Right.
How do you feel in South City? So are they really trying to revitalize South City? Is that in the plans, or just like one of the so what do you all, how are you all dealing with that? How are you all kind of being able to help the people come out as good as possible out of that situation with them revitalizing?
Right, right. Well, you know what? The revitalization is real. You know, they're going to break ground starting soon. But as far as the people there, that's the whole concept of the South City Foundation. We're there to help empower the community, being that they are tearing down a piece of the community that needs rebuilding, that needs restructuring. And we need a place like that happening in South City on that side of town. For the people. So the people will want to, you know, create better opportunities for themselves. The better that they're educated on the things that's happening and the things that's about to take place, the more acceptable and embracing they'll be when the changes come. You know, once things happen and once things start to take form, they can see that the community is working on becoming better. So now they have no choice but to want to advance themselves and want to become better. You know, and what the South City Foundation does, as far as me being a part of it and what we're doing, there's things that's being brought to the hood that normally these people won't necessarily have access to, like a community classroom for advancement, for employment, better employment opportunities, learning different skills such as administrative skills, simple things as answering the phone etiquette, at the same time, typing, faxing, printing papers, filing. Those simple little trait skills are great things to have and to be able to add to a resume now. Well, we're giving certifications for people being able to go through a training class for administrative skills or parental skills, where they're getting better parenting skills and stuff of that nature. Even learning a trade, maybe even barbering. So beauty, cosmetics, what cosmetology, whatever it is. We want to be able to bring that to that area so that the people that have access to it, because not everybody has a car to get to a TCC or a Lively Technical Center for school. Not everybody has a car to get to work. But if we can bring these type of opportunities for the residents there, everybody learns from that. And then everybody empowers and advances from that. And then everybody grows. And then everybody starts to live a better life. So once the revitalization parts take up, and they start rebuilding these new apartments in that area, and they see the new quality, they're not looking at it as, oh, this the South Side as it's always been looked upon, but now, oh, this South City. Oh, this what it's supposed to look like. I want to live here now. So now once we got opportunities where businesses and people want to start bringing money to the South Side and investing in it, now we got a whole different dynamic going on in just one community within itself, which is literally the backbone of Tallahassee in my eyes. Always have been.
Right.
So,
go ahead. I didn't hear like he wanted to add, so.
No, I'm just saying, no. Just to be a part of all that, man, and just to answer your question with the revitalization and all of that, yeah, it's definitely going down, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask the question that I know a lot of people are wondering, because even when Joe puts the quotes around revitalize, so I guess when people hear that, they think of gentrification. That's what they think of.
Right.
What's going to be, what are, like, if you can, or if it's whatever, then that's fine. But if you can, like, what's going to be the thing that prevents this from turning into that prevents, you know, this revitalization effort that sounds amazing in terms of bringing the skills in the community and all of that, definitely needed. What's going to prevent the businesses and the money flooding in from, you know, the people being like priced out? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, and that's a very good question too, my brother. What's great about it is that the South City whole the census tract, the business tract for the whole census tract period of South City is is about to become a purpose-built community. Now, I don't know if y'all are familiar with Purpose Built, but Purpose Built is a billion-dollar nonprofit organization that has gone on to many rural urban communities and have literally flipped them, redeveloped them, and gave these people who are living in poverty or living in low-income neighborhoods a better way of life, a better way of living, and bringing resources to these people where upgrades are needed within the community. Purpose Built identifies South City or Orange Avenue Apartments as a Purpose Built neighborhood. So we have the national backing of a billion-dollar organization that's, have literally compacted funds to raise and get the first and second phases done for this, huge project. The thing that's happening right now with this whole ordeal is putting these people that may a lot of people thinking that these folks are going to be mishoused or the residents not going to have a, they're going to be displaced and not be able to have any access to anything. Well, the Tallahassee Housing Authority is a part of this whole project. So nothing can go through or happen without the mandate and the signature going off with the approval of the Tallahassee Housing Authority. So all of those people have received vouchers. They've received vouchers for relocation. As far as any type of actual upgrades for apartments, or even if they want to become first-time home buyers, they have that opportunity too with that voucher to put into perspective in the place, so that these folks and the residents that move out, they'll be able to sustain themselves. And once those apartments are built up, the people who move out and had those vouchers have first accommodations if they want to move back to the South Side to invest back into what has been built back in there. So everything will be on point with that. Hope that answers the question. Hope.
Yeah. Yeah. He's shaking the head. Yeah. Okay.
He didn't duck it or dodge it or nothing. Like, he got through it.
Yeah. That's important for a quarter.
There you go. Now, that's what's up. No, but seriously, and I feel Pat, because a lot of times, people, you know too, ask somebody that question, they give you a political answer. Be like, right. Nah, this is what's happening. So that's the best part about it. All right,
and you know what? And for him even asking that, the blessing on top of that is that I get to be on part of these big time Zoom meetings and conference calls, and I get to hear it from the people themselves. So because those questions that you just gave me was the same questions that I'm giving them. And for them to make me feel secure within the answer that they're giving me, I feel secure in giving that answer to you, my brother. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm like, I'm glad I got that question, because I asked that same question too, Doc.
That's what's up. What's up. So I want people to really get to understand how you got to where you are today.
Okay.
And better understand you as a man, to understand your journey. So after Rickards, I know I kind of lost track of what you had going on, but you went to Edward Waters College. And
before UWC, it was UNC. It was North Carolina.
Okay. Well,
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, tell us the journey from Rickards to UNC to Edward Waters. So we want to know that journey, as well as what was some of the greatest lessons that you learned either as a college student or a college athlete that you felt kind of helped develop you into the man that you are today.
Absolutely. After Rickards, signed a letter of intent to go to the University of North Carolina. Got up there, true freshman, had an awesome opportunity to play up there with those guys. Due to some certain things that took place, I lost my scholarship. I took funds and gifts from boosters up there. So I mean, young kid coming from South City, you get all that in front of you, I mean, of course you're gonna partake. So from there, I transferred to Methodist College, which is now Methodist University. Had a great opportunity there, and did my thing there. And grew some strong brotherhoods there too, man. And actually learned how to really, really write and rap up there. We'll get into that part later on. But the rapping really started, I mean, it kicked off in high school, playing around with, you know, recording a little bit, but I really, really got into it up there. But North Carolina and whatnot, yeah, UNC and Methodist, they gave me the opportunity to touch college football a little bit. Like, I didn't have, like, no major, big, crazy games that I had, you know, like that. But I had some great moments and times of just being a true freshman, catching a few passes out there and all that good stuff. Now, my transfer back home to Tallahassee, I knew I wasn't going to go back to North Carolina. I just knew I wasn't going to transfer back home, so I needed to get back home. I tried to transfer to Florida State, and I tried to transfer to FAM, and I needed a job at the time. So I started working with the Tallahassee Housing Authority too, over a little summer program job, and was working with them. And that's how I found out about EWC. Edward Waters was losing their accreditation at the time. They had lost it.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah. And they was trying to get it back. So they was trying to fulfill the student body by going out, recruiting, scouting, and football was about to come back to the campus after 34 years of leaving. So this was a hell of an opportunity for me. I'm like, hold on, this is HBCU at number one. Then two, is in Jacksonville, Florida, so I'm not too far from home. And three, we play football again for the first time. Oh man, this right up my alley. Beautiful Jacksonville, right. Florida, the largest city in the United States of America. Ain't no telling what we could get into, you know?
Right.
So, so going to EWC, man, I discovered the hood for real. It's literally the good in the hood. It's a school, small school. If you blink twice, you will miss it. And it is home. It's everything to me, man. That college opened up so much for me. It opened up my identity as far as a black man, learning my culture, learning who I was. It really allowed me to see that, yeah, your own people hate you. Because I have some haters. I had some haters on that campus, boy, coming from, you know, Tallahassee for one. You can have that Tallahassee stamp on your name, boy. That stamp of Tallahassee, listen, that thing resonates everywhere. I'm telling you. Okay, where you go, bro? So to have that on top of you, then on D1 player and coming, who is this guy? You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, you know, let me just see what I can do and see how things happen and muster up from there. And yeah, that's what happened, man. The football team started to come back and we started to build and we grew. And I actually brought a few homies from Tallahassee with me to EWC. Shout out to DeMario Murray. I brought Lil Ro up there with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marcus Hall, I'm talking about me, you know, they had a ball. And yeah, man. And EWC football kicked off, man, 2001. I was the first face in the newspaper as far as kicking off the season. And once they saw my face in the newspaper, that's the face that they started to come see after that. Like, I kid you not, it was like all media attention came to Cliff. All the folks and just attention. So once the season kicked off, it was everybody. It wasn't just about me, you know what I mean? And I'm talking about, you got the Dexter Gantz, the Mac Frazier. I know these probably some names y'all probably like, Cliff, I ain't never heard of these people before. But these folks deserve that kind of, you know, recognition. Right. The Terrell James, the Terrell Randolph, Styles, like these cats, Dez Jackson. Oh man, listen, I could go on forever about these boys, man. These boys came from that product up there in Jacksonville and all around, and just that EWC football, like to be a part of the very first roster, bringing that football feeling back to EWC, like, was amazing, bro. And to see what it is now, 20 years later, now we got college stadiums. Now we got a stadium at Emma Waters. We got, they done created a whole different athletic department is different. We got a gymnasium now. We bought out James Weldon Middle School, which was right on our campus at the time. Like, that used to be our practice field. And I'm talking about, we had to go through the practice field picking up glass, trash, and syringes.
Wow.
You saw everything on King's Road, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it was that kind of deal. But to see now, we got a turf field with stadiums and bleachers and lights and stuff like that. Like, it's amazing. It's crazy to know that that's something I started and I was a part of, and I'm still a part of, because I talk to them players all the time and I go just give them some inspiration. I speak all the time up there. So, and, you know, the new essence of that, everything is good. But yeah, that was, EWC was everything, man. And one thing I have to say I took from there that's molded me to this day is this thing that my coach at the time, head coach Lamont Massey, who he was a, I ain't gonna talk about him, but let's just say the most important thing he ever piece of information, I think he gave the whole team, but yet I took as a man, bro, that I didn't figure out what it was or what it meant until I graduated, until I really had to be in this space, was this thing called, he had an acronym, W-I-N, which spells win, right? Uh-huh. Everybody wants to win, but what's important now? And when I took that, and I stood there after my graduation day, bro, and I got that degree in my hand, and after I went home and I cried and I ate all my food and enjoyed the family and whatnot, after everybody left and was done, what's important now? What's next? Right. Right. What's your next dream? What's your next phase? What do you feel to do now with your life, Cliff? And that's the thing that I carry next with me every single day. What's important now? Every day, bro. I'm talking, that's still the acronym to this day at EWC. What's important now? I didn't put some other little letters in there, but but the what's important now deal is, that's, man, like, that's my thing. Like, I live by it. I live and die by that every single day.
That's what's up.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he just rolled on two of them things, because he said, what he said, when, what's important now, and then when, what is next? When?
Yeah.
I like it.
Hey. Yeah, man.
When,
yeah,
I start using it.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate you. I want that. But take my hat off of that. I respect right now.
Soon as the next semester starts and I start teaching again, I'm on it. I got it.
There it is.
I'm
sparking things. We sparking things. That's what it's all about.
Hey. That's what's up, man.
One of the interesting things you said is that you had to learn, you learned your culture while you were at the school. And that's, I always love when I hear people make phrases and say things like that, because there's a common assumption in the community that, you know, I grew up black, so I don't need to learn black culture or black
culture,
history. Could you explain to people what you meant when you say you had to learn your culture?
Yeah, absolutely. Just the whole entire aspect of, you know, people knowing that they're black. Yeah, you black. Okay, cool. I'm African-American too. I'm black too. I'm a black guy too. But my culture more so embedded as far as just, I learned where I came from. Like, just being African, and then coming to America, but then getting that stamp on you, African-American. Like, okay, that's great and all. I'm in your country, appreciate it. But I'm African, bruh. appreciate you teaching me your language, but I'm African. And I ain't got no problems with being that all day long. Now, you may have a problem with that. And that's the things that we struggling or not even struggling, I mean, we fighting for every single day just to get our point across that, hey, we black, we're African, we're in America, we're African-Americans. At the end of the day, all of that shit, same, it's the same thing. We're human. But I had to learn it from an aspect of being brought up in a country that didn't like you.
Right.
But then had to grow up in a country that you had to like. And then... because you're here, and while you're here, you got to learn the culture and learn everything. But at the same time, how do you learn yourself and where you fit in America as a black person, as an African American? And that, when I learned that aspect of my culture, it made me open up to everything else, as far as like, okay, we got country singers, we got hip hop artists, we got movie directors, we got astronauts, we, everything that everybody's doing under the sun that don't look like us, guess what, we do it too,
right?
And 9 times out of 10 and 10 times out of 10 we do it better, you know. So I had to learn my own ingredients before I could make my sauce, you know what I'm saying? So that's how I always stay in tune with the culture that's happening now, like the hip-hop culture, all this, you know, fast rapping and the Migos style. I love them boys. You know what I mean? I love them. However, everybody is trying to take a piece of that. Everybody's sounding the same. But it's the culture. I'm a part of it. I appreciate it. All the football players in the world today, everybody want to look like a Peter Warwick or the Who the New Guy that's out there now, DJ. Everybody mm-hmm. with the little blonde hair, the culture.
Looking like ramen noodles.
Some half-baked ramen noodles. You know, but that's I learned that, that's a part of our culture. So whatever I see, I can become, I can do that too. And I can do it better. And like fashion designers, like, oh man, like we gotta, like our style, man, you see how many people bite our style? Everybody. Come on, man. Like I just saw how beautiful our race is and was, and just the way we talk. Bro, we got our own language. You know what I'm saying? You got English, Turkish, French, Ebonics. Motherfucker, put us in there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We is old.
Straight up, though. That's real. Yeah.
So I just learned to embrace the creativity of just all the beautiful things that we do as people, and learned that, damn, I can do these damn same things myself in my own way. You know, okay. And that's what, like everybody in here, you know, in this conversation. All a part of the culture in some kind of way.
Right, right. All right, so that I got a follow-up question to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fuck these questions. We on this. Straight up. Because I feel you. I graduated from FAMU psychology program. Yeah. And that's the only African-centered psychology program in the world.
When
you come out of that,
yeah,
your fist is high.
I'm talking about raised, baby. I'm talking about raised.
Straight up. So how did you take that view of yourself, that Afrocentric view, that information, that knowledge, how did you take that into the world of entrepreneurship? So you understand who you are and where you come from, and now you're stepping out of the world of athletics into the world of entrepreneurship. Like, how did that African worldview shape you as an entrepreneur?
And you know what? I would first honestly say it scared me. And it scared me to the sense that I was in a world and getting in an industry that you didn't see many of us in. You know, you had probably one or two real successful ones at that time, but you just really didn't see too many of us, you know, in the industry that I was getting myself in. Mm-hmm. And what allowed me to really know thy worth and know myself was seeing and researching of an individual I got a chance to be a mentee under, my mentor, past and dead and gone, the greatest agent ever out there. I'm talking about ever out there, Eugene Parker. Mm-hmm. I got the opportunity to meet this brother, man. I coached his son in high school.
Okay.
At East Gaston High School, now Gaston County High School, when Fuller took over his first season.
Okay.
Parker was Fuller's agent, you know, so his son, he was in good care, had a son down there, Austin, who's now become an agent too. Shout out to AP. And it was just that awesome opportunity to soak his brain up like a sponge. I was telling him I was taking the test, getting ready, I was studying. And days after practice, he would come up there, and I'm talking about I grab him to the side 10, 15, 20 minutes at a time, and we just talk. And he just pour into me, and he just let me know, like, yeah, young brother, you're going to be good. You're going to be straight. Keep, you know, keep focused, keep going, keep grinding. And he just, you know, he just always give me that good piece of knowledge. And one thing he always made me realize on how to make it in this business, he told me to always like who likes you. I took that with me, bro.
Yeah. We say that all the time on here.
Yeah. Bro, like he gave me that piece of knowledge and I have stuck with it. He said, just like who like you.
Yeah.
Don't overdo it. Don't overthink it. Just like who like you. Be resourceful and be knowledgeable of who you are and what you do. But like who like you. You don't have to please everybody in the industry. And that's what gave me the confidence and the comfortability to go do what I'm doing. You know, it's like you know, white, black, whoever, you're going to know who I am by my name. But once you find out that I'm black, you know, I can't change that part. So I'm going to let my work speak for itself. You just find out by the name. You know what I mean?
There you go.
But that's what gave me the confidence, man. Just those type of conversations with Eugene Parker, dog, having that expert tutelage and that kind of mentor over you, bro, because he represented Deion Sanders.
Well, don't get no better than that.
You know what I mean? So you got somebody who represented the GOAT of all time. Like, come on,
with,
man.
With that personality.
With that personality. That kind of personality. Yeah. And you talk about like who like you, it took a lot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Just so everybody's clear, he's talking about being a sports agent, just in case some people may be unsure, being a sports agent.
Right, absolutely.
All right.
Yes, as opposed to being a porn agent.
Totally different. That's what I need, all right?
Y'all boy loose,
but it's not.
I love it.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yeah, man.
Now, all right. So you connected with another gentleman that I have reverence for being able to watch him on the field and watch him at UCF, Cincinnati Bengals. So we're talking about Mr. Elton Patterson. And I do want to say this too. I give you and you cats like EP, AC, cats who came out with you all, who didn't turn to Southside legends. Cause y'all know what I'm talking about with them Southside legends. Like, only in Tallahassee on the South Side where being a legend ain't a good thing, right?
I'm telling you that.
So, but seriously, like, because we saw, and when I was at Rickers, I saw a lot of cats who we heard stories about. And man, that cat was. And it's like, well, nah, he ain't. But you guys really gave us something to look up to because you appreciate kept that. Going, you kept fighting, and you kept building, and you still continuing to build. So I do want to give you and EP and AC and everybody that was ahead of us who really helped set the foundation, because we can't come behind y'all and say, man, we can't do this and we can't do it. No, we can, because y'all did. We saw y'all do it.
That's real. That's real. And that's respect, my brother. I appreciate that, Jay.
No problem. No problem. So, franchise sports agency.
Yeah.
All right. So, You got your master's in
sports management
and then franchise sports agency. So can you tell us, like, what made you get that master's and what is franchise sports agency? How did you build it and who you into it with?
Sure, absolutely. What made me go get it was knowing that you had to have it to become an agent anyway. You know, at first I was just training athletes. I was an athletic trainer. I had a training company in Atlanta. I lived in Atlanta for 8 years. I had partnered with the city of Atlanta's Parks and Recreation Department and was working out celebrities and folks at one of their parks. That was the perk. I was going to bring in the clientele. Y'all provide the facility, brother. You know what I mean? And the kids and the people who work there, they could take pictures and sign autographs and all that good stuff. So I was just working people out. And what made me want to get into it was certain players that was coming to me and asking me about agents and who they should go sign with or who I should lead them to or what their agent not doing for them at the moment. So made me think, well, damn, you know, that's something I still want to do. I wanted to do it. My agent was shitty at the time. Let me go do this, you know, and it just made me want to go back and it made me want to go back to school and it made me want to chase something that I knew that was going to be sustainable for my lifetime. I mean, even if I give this up, I mean, I can go be a AD somewhere. Or I can go do something in sports somewhere, you know, at all times. And I'll just always have that, you know, backing at the end of the day. Like, that's important, you know. And what franchise sports was, it was actually EP's brainchild. Me and EP wasn't even going to become business partners. I didn't even know he was doing his thing. I didn't even know he was back in Tallahassee. He didn't know I was back in Tallahassee. I had moved back to Tallahassee in 2010 because I had just became a father. Shout out to baby girl, Pete. And you know, me moving back home, he had just got married. Didn't even know he had got married. So I was like, okay, wow. And we met on the craziest side of town and at the same gas station. And we're just like, dude, you here?
Right.
Really? It was the weirdest thing, dude. And he was like, what you doing now? And we caught up and I was like, well, I just came in age. He was like, no shit, I just came in age. I was like, no, stop. He was like, bro, for real. And it was the weirdest thing, bro. And he was like, man, I know you're trying to start your own agency. I was like, yeah, I am. He's like, man, let's do this shit together, bro. What's up? And it was a no-brainer. When we grew up together, you know, we was raised in Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church together.
Right.
Toothless in the daycare center. You know, so, you know, we know each other. So this is, you know, it was like a match made in heaven. And we just studied the game together, man. It was a lot of things I knew that he wasn't going to be able to necessarily do because, you know, he had a lot going on, you know, mm-hmm. with, you know, all the CTE stuff and everything, you know, he had a lot going on with that. And a lot of people don't know that about EP. A lot of, like, you know, great guy, love him to death, but, you know, my dog done going through some, you know, head mm-hmm. stuff that really done, you know, not messed right. him up, but he just, you know, he good all day. It's just, right. you know, he had some moments, but
right.
The drive that we both had learning the business young, like, I think that was the excitement of our first time, really, because it was our first year becoming agents, and yeah, we was winging it, bro. Like, we was winging it. Like, we knew what we wanted to do. We knew where we were going to come from, and we was winging it. And you know the crazy thing about it, like, we did a business launch party. And when we did this business launch party, our very first one was representing a few clients. We had Jabril Smiley from Florida State. He was a running back at Florida State. We had David Hines from Florida Atlantic, linebacker, who got a shot with the Dolphins during our tenure and time, and a few other teams. But he, we had this nice little business launch at the Hotel Duval.
Okay.
And everybody was there, had a cool look, bringing out whatever folks came. And my kindergarten teacher, I invited her. She, Miss Clements, shout out to Miss Clements from Leonard Wesson Elementary. Me and my kindergarten teacher still have a relationship to this day, a great friendship to this day. And she right. came to the launch and she brought a friend with her named KU Banks. And KU Banks was this multi-million-dollar real estate agent at the time, man. She came in and kicked it and chilled and was just, she introduced us to her and everything. And all of a sudden, Kay just came out of nowhere and said, you know what? I feel something brewing. She said, you guys give me, I'm going to give you my card. You come to my office on Tuesday. What are you guys doing Tuesday? It was like, nothing. We got no plans. She was like, we're going to register something for Tuesday. Y'all come see me Tuesday. That Tuesday, we go into her office. We realizing that we walking into our office. Gives us an office space for free where we had conference room, projector screens, own desks, walls you can write on with marker and an erase, like shit like that was new to me. What is going on, right?
Right.
And bro, like entrances with key fobs and all that stuff. So I'm mm-hmm. over here like, wow, this is really going on right now. And it set us off. Like, those type of blessings was happening for us. And the blessing that came after that was our guy that we was representing got picked up by the Dolphins. He had a shot, did his thing, was on the practice squad, and bounced from team to team, had a chance to really explore and fulfill his dream. And me and EP, we still work very, very hard with our guys and with our clients and whatnot. Although, you know, we both kind of not necessarily separated. We still work together. Like I said, I just started my own leg, man. It was just, you know, we had some creative and move differences and whatnot, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you see or feel that you can expand and you want to do more, you want to build your brand more from what I felt franchise could do at that time, you know, he wanted to stay in one place. I felt like, you know, the NFL is awesome, but there's the CFL, there's the XFL, there's the FVFA, there's the LAF. I mean, it was so much stuff that I was learning about all these different football leagues and different ways you can make money and send these guys overseas. I was just like, bruh, let's connect. And he was like, nah, I just want to stick in my own lane. And when you have those differences and whatnot, you got to learn I learned all I could, and I learned all I, you know, did, and it allowed me to be encouraged enough to go start my own agency and to start Right Touch Sports and to have my own clients now and to be a part of not just the NFL, but the CFL and the GFL 1 and the GFL 2 and the XF and the XF. You know, so I got all of these different avenues where I'm not just signing guys and then releasing them, because that's normally what happens with these players. Once they get on, you sign them and they don't, and the team don't pick them up, and they don't get picked up on a practice squad, like, that's it. That relationship is done unless no team calls. Like, that contract, that standard representation agreement is a wrap. Like, good luck, or go find another agent if you feel like you want to continue to do this. And that's normally how it goes. And I just felt like you do all that time, spending all that time building that kind of rapport with these people, you might want to try to continue to build upon that relationship, because you never know how things can come around full circle. And I just like to create great stories, man. So if this is one in the making for a lot of my players, you know, I'm hoping Right Touch Sports, and now newly along with Beyond Athlete Management, we'll talk about that too in a minute. Okay. Yeah, man. Good things start to come to those who are consistent and who wait, man.
Nah, that's what's up.
Yeah.
That's definitely what's up. I'm glad you're giving it from that perspective, because I don't know a lot of young black dudes who really understand sports management.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we heard about Master P being Ricky Williams' agent.
Right, right. That moment.
You know, we heard about who was that?
Shit, Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, all them boys.
Jay Prince, all them cats.
Yeah, you know, all them boys in the game now.
You hear about
people in the game.
Who's that?
Luke.
Oh, Luke. Okay.
Uncle Luke, his wife an agent.
Okay.
Yeah. They used to represent Devontae Freeman from Florida State.
Sure did. Yeah, his wife sure did. Okay. So, like, what really goes into being a sports agent? Because I know you have to get the certification. You have to have the credentials first and foremost. Yeah. But, like, really, to be a successful sports agent, because you learn from the guy who was the agent of Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders, yeah.
So you had a great teacher, somebody who had the tools. But what really goes into being a sports agent, a successful one? Not like some shyster one we're seeing one in the movies, but like somebody who actually has a good reputation and a good career that can span decades.
You gotta know the market. You know, and what I mean by that is you got to see and know what teams are looking for and what they want. You know what I mean? Everybody's a, you know, a hidden talent, or everybody's a star on their team or whomever. So one of the main things you want to see, like, okay, what teams need what? Or what teams looking for this and what teams looking for that? That's one main thing you can always do. Find out who's looking for who, and then go find the best players in those positions, right? Okay. But then in the process of going to do that, one of my main things that I'll do, and I don't mind sharing my secret, I don't necessarily go check out what the teams want, because I don't care what team pick my guy.
right.
So I look and see who's the top 2021, 20, or whoever, whatever year, top players, top 100 players that is coming out of college, coming out next year, junior, senior, in college, and CBS Sports, ESPN, and whoever's validating, whoever the media's pubbing and pushing, I'm gonna look at those guys. I'm gonna check them out. I'm gonna see who's who and what's what. I'm gonna reach out to them on Twitter and on their little Instagrams and on their Facebook pages. I'm gonna go check them out on YouTube. I'm gonna scout them, evaluate them, see how they play. I don't like just the highlights, because that's just the highlights.
Right.
Give me the lowlights. Give me the whole game.
Yes.
Give me what he doing when the ball ain't on his side of the field.
Right.
Is he digging in his nose, digging in his ass? What is he doing?
Right. Do you block? Do you give him half effort on the route?
What is he doing?
Right.
I want to know that.
I feel you.
I want to know what's going on off the field. Is he getting good grades? Do people like him? Like, what's going on? Where he work? What's his GPA? You know, I want to know that stuff. So I do that kind of homework and that kind of research. And then I hit him up. I reach out to him and I try to see if we can build a rapport, that rapport building, listen, if you can't, it's just like hollering at a female. It's all about courting. That's how I look at it. It's no homo, but just being dead ass serious. It is literally you trying to court every last individual to hopefully get them to sign
with
you.
That's real, though.
And you have to build trust. You have to let these people know, hey, I know what you're doing, I know what you got going on. I'm in a position to make this happen. I always let people know, black or white, it don't matter what agent that's gonna come at you, big name or not, the same shit he gonna do for you is the same shit I'm gonna do for you. I just rather you sign with me because you like me more.
Yeah.
Let's sell it that way. At the end of the day, just come this way. I'm gonna do the same thing Drew Rosenhaus or Tom Condon, any of these other big time white agents that's out here making bread, out here looking crazy. I'm gonna do the same thing. Just I like me more. I'm a whole lot hipper. I like hip hop. You can't go into the nightclub with a Tom Condon. He's not gonna be able to jam to a damn Lil Baby's damn Drip Too Hard. Boy, listen.
Relatability.
You gotta be honest with him. So, right. What would you rather have? Would you rather have yourself an agent that knows everything and gonna treat you like a back burner and not give you your voice and tell you to hush, hush this, don't say that, whatever? Or you gonna let somebody utilize your platform who look just like you? Because everybody in the NFL is black to me. So I'm like, okay, so you might want to go roll with somebody who, if you want somebody that's going to look like you and identify, you can identify with. At the end of the day, brother, we making green together. We might as well right. just stay black together at the same time. You know what I'm saying? And that's the mindset and mentality that I have to educate these young brothers on, because all they see is what they see from the TV or what they see from their past players that may have gotten the big time contract or the big time white agent to come see them. You know, that thing. Now, my firepower is this for all of that, because at some point, you know, them cats, them first round, second round guys, they want money up front. They want to see, right. you know, what you're going to do for them. You know what I mean? You're going to take care of them, train the high school, but what you going to give me up front? Hell, I done went and got my backing. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, I'm not going to be able to financially do everything you want me to do, X, Y, Z, if I ain't got it. But if I got somebody that got it and willing to do it, oh, we going in. And there's no turning back. And that's really what it takes. You have to be able to network with the right people, trust the right people, but at the same time, be that person for these players that they can trust. You know what I mean? And it all goes back to what I said before, that like who like you.
Straight up. Nah, that's cool.
That was real dope. Especially the courting piece. And look, I ain't finna say no homo or pause now. What that ass man? All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. But I thought it was dope. You know that you connected the two, right? Like,
yeah.
Because that's something that I used to do business relationship stuff and branding stuff and trying to get people to network properly, and it never occurred to me to describe it the way you just described it. Like, it's a relationship. Like,
it really is.
Like you trying to holler at somebody. Like,
right.
You know,
literally.
It's about exchanging the business cards and all of that. It's
right.
About building a rapport, building a relationship, really getting to know somebody.
Right.
That's dope. You know what? I'm gonna have to credit you for that too.
I appreciate it, dog. Hey, man. Top off to you, baby, all day, man.
I'm telling you,
respect. Yeah, man.
That's cool. So now we could be here talking about sports all day. We can.
I love it.
But you got a resume. You got a resume. You got tricks up your sleeve, man. You don't just wear one hat. So
true.
All right, Pat. Yo. I found a new podcast that I've been checking out. I ain't tell you about it yet, but I found a new podcast that I've been checking out, right? It's called The Featured with CJ3. It comes on Monday through Friday, starting at 9 p.m. Huh?
Why you ain't told me about it till just now?
Because we got the host of the podcast right here.
So, I understand that.
Just lining it all up on you.
I'm finding out the same time the audience is. What the hell, man?
Hey, see, I like to keep stuff to myself till it's time to reveal.
I see. You know what he said about building rapport and trusting people? Yeah. You
hey. Hey, now, see, you looking at it from a slant. You got to look at it the way I'm looking at it. I don't look at it the way you looking at it, bro.
I see.
What you say? You coming at a slant. You got to go, man. Convert, convert.
Hey, man. Get on my side. So the feature with CJ3, that's your podcast. That's your platform. That's your live stream. Monday through Friday. So,
yeah.
We talked about it a little bit earlier. So,
yeah,
what made you come up with the platform? we kind of understand the name, but why did you call it the feature? And why you decide to do Monday through Friday?
Oh boy, I'm happy I get to finally tell this story on like
an interview
because it's really really crazy, right? So since 2012, I've always wanted my own talk show. Like, I was gonna have this talk show. I had even teamed up with the communications department and journalism department at Florida A&M University. Shout out to Dr. Kawachi Clemens. I was gonna hook this thing up, bruh. Like, we was gonna have like people come in at least once a week or once a month. I was gonna set it up like that and have folks come sit down and actually be in house and, you know, do like a talk of Tallahassee. That's what I'm gonna call it, the talk of Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
But that changed, and you know, years later, it's always a brainchild, still a brain fart, but yet haven't put it out yet. So we get to COVID, and I just got back from out of the country. I just got back from Canada, and I got back in March, like end of March, and my birthday is April 15th. So I'm quarantining in the house on my B-day. Nothing happening, nothing going on. I never went live before. I was like, I'm gonna go Facebook Live. Why not? For my birthday. I made a flyer for it and posted the flyer and was like, y'all meet me on live. We're going live for the first time at 9:39. I was turning 39 at the time. And bruh, I went live and over 140 people tuned in to my live. And I was like, why won't I do the TV show on live? Like, this is perfect. I'm talking about, bro, right. Never put the two together. Didn't even think about it. This was like, wait a minute, this is cool. And I'm talking about all of the who's is who was hitting me up. Like, I felt like such a real celebrity. Like, I'm talking about people was coming through, boy. I like, boy, you wish your boy a happy birthday? No, man, you know. So I had that kind of moment and that kind of shock from it. So the next day, I locked myself in my room 3 weeks straight. I'm talking about I ain't come out to do nothing but shower, shave, shit, and shampoo, fellas. I promise.
There you go.
And I learned everything off of YouTube as far as what softwares to use, how to mainstream, how to multi-stream, how to find different platforms, how to green screen, how to do all this stuff, bro. And then I looked at my phone and I was like, I already had the concept that I wanted to make, you know, Tallahassee a little bit at first, but I was like, I can broaden this thing so big to all the folks I really know. So I started looking through my phone, man, and I said, I'm finna make a damn TV show out of my phone. And I started looking to all the folks that I know, and I know so many people from the music industry, from the professional sports world, to political heads and public figures and entrepreneurs and health nuts, physical trainers. I'm talking about presidents of colleges. I knew these people on a personal level, and I was just like, I can really utilize this and change the whole spectrum of the game. That was in April. I reached out to a whole lot of people in April and started my show May 1st, that Friday, the May 1st of this year. I started my show and I was just going to do it every Friday. And my show was called Just Featured Fridays. That's what it was called.
Right.
I was just going to do it Featured Fridays. That was it. Every Friday I had just a particular, you know, person. I promote them and boom, we talking. My first show was with Kanan Lamb. I don't know if y'all know who Kanan Lamb is.
Hey, I know who Rat Boy. I know who Kanan Lamb is.
Okay, so
I'm jealous.
My first episode was with Kanan Lamb. For those who don't know Kanan Lamb, Kanan Lamb is also known as Lamb Liddy. He's a big time platinum recording artist, producer. He's also a Hall of Fame legend here from Florida A&M University, a wide receiver who was part of the legendary Rack Boys. One of the best receivers in the world. Him and Peter Warwick, by far my greatest receivers of all time. But I got a chance to know this brother on a personal level, and I'll get into that part too later on. But me and Lamb, as he was producing and me being a musician and whatnot, I, you know, was sending a lot of music to him, and he would always turn my stuff down, dog. Like, he would always turn my shit down every time I sent him some music.
Yeah.
The one song that I got, I had two songs on the radio, but the one song that I that really got me in the game was the one song he said, "It's better than all the other shit you said." I take it. Let's go. Right. So fast forward. And so Lamb is actually a sponsor of my show.
Okay.
For the feature. So him and Twelfth and Collins and Big D Baker, shout out to Big D and Lamb, man. They sponsored my show. I told them what I wanted to do, and I told them I wanted to just, you know, put them out there and put their name out there and put my name with theirs and see how it goes. He's like, yeah, if you're trying to do it like that, cool, that's no problem. So I interviewed Lamb, and it was my first interview. I had a lot of technical difficulties and crazy shit happening, but I got through it, and it went really, really well. It was like 2 hours long, but it went really, really good.
Right.
The very next day, I got a call from somebody who was my future Feature Fridays guest, which his name is Greg Bowman. And Greg is Teddy Riley's business partner in the music industry.
Okay.
And I know Greg through production stuff that he did for my group or with my group. So, and I met him through Case, which is another conversation, but he reached out to me and was like, "Cliff, bro, I love the show." I said, "Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much." He said, "I saw the first show, bro. It was awesome." I said, "Thank you, man. I appreciate it." He said, "But you need to be on every single day." I said, "Huh?" He said, "Either you gonna do this Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or 5 days a week, 7 days a week, whatever. You trying to be out there, right?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You need to be doing this shit every single night." He said, "Oh, yeah. Change the name of your show, by the way. Feature Fridays, yeah, that's cute and all, but you need to change it. You need to brand yourself. Brand your name." And I said, "All right, cool." Click. That same day, the feature with Cliff Jackson III was born. The whole look, transformation, everything. I made Feature Fridays a segment, and I started June 1st, which was ironically a Friday. Oh, no, it started on Monday. June 1st was on Monday. May 1st was Friday. June 1st was that Monday, and I started my show Monday through Friday that day. And been going ever since.
Hey, man. Your top 10 days. Hey, man. You funny as hell, man. You funny as hell. It was like, what he had, the top 10 way people, black people say no, or something like that. He's like, "Hell no." I was like, "Man, that shit was funny."
Oh, man.
I love it, though. Also, that Peter Warwick interview, man. So jealous of that. Oh, man, that's what. Congratulations on that, man. Brad, everything.
Listen, I appreciate it. Listen, man, I'm so happy, and I'm like really, really excited about that particular interview, man. That conversation, I don't even like to call them interviews. Like, they're really like a three-way conversation with my fans and my followers, dog. And one thing that I really try to put out there for folks, like, I don't try to be bragging about who I know, dog. I don't try to, you know, put it out there like that. I really don't. I just been in the right places at the right times, dog. That's how the hell I done came across all these people. Like, I swear to goodness, I ain't trying to, listen, a lot of the musicians and folks that I ain't even bring out yet, listen, all these producers, I met them cats just on a whim. Mm-hmm. All this stuff. So it's crazy. But Pete's conversation, dog, he hasn't done any interviews with ESPN, with CBS, with CNN, nothing about none of his past stuff, none of his great stuff that he did in college. Like, none of that shit. Like, no, like, he, like, you don't hear any radio stuff. Like, even the stuff you do with Florida State, you don't get that kind of in-depth conversation.
Right.
And for him to come on my show during the time he was, where he did come on, because he was at a black tie event with Shaquille O'Neal, Allen Iverson, Ray Allen. Yeah. I'm talking about the who's of what's what was at this black tie event. You can hear Shaquille and Allen Iverson in the background. Did you hear him in the background on the show?
Yeah, no, yeah.
All this stuff took place. Well,
okay, I heard. I didn't know it was them. I heard. Yeah. But, okay.
Yeah, they at the table talking about, man, what the hell is you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, talking to him, like, you know, what's going on? And, like, to know that was happening at the time, and he pouring his heart out, and then he leaves out of the building and starts talking to us privately more so, and gets into tears. And he starts talking about his son who has cerebral palsy and all that stuff, and how he's the new face for this disease that he has no true full knowledge of.
Right.
But he's the face of this thing now. You know, that's a lot of pressure to be the superstar of the world.
Right.
I mean, you college football's greatest, boy, the most elusive player ever. Bruh. And now you have a son who can't move, who can't hear, but he acknowledges you by sounds and by smiling at. To know that connection, and we had that type of stuff being revealed, and then for him to talk about the shit that happened at Dillard's when he was in college, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Like, bro, he went in, and that's the stuff that I be really trying to bring authenticity to my show, bro. Right. Like, right. I don't want everybody to take their hats off of professionalism, talk about who you are, talk about what you do, but be you. And right. That's what I'm giving them. And yeah, that Peter Ward conversation, dog, I swear to goodness, by far my best work ever.
Man, look, as a football fan,
yeah.
When me and my homeboys, we get together, we talk about the greatest players we've ever had the privilege of viewing.
Right.
Number one, P. Dub. No, Reggie Bush is second.
Right.
Can we get Reggie Bush's flowers?
Right.
But no.
You gotta give him why they're taking him away from
right. Right.
Yeah.
But it's Pete Luck.
Man, you
couldn't do nothing with him.
Do nothing on a Saturday.
You couldn't do nothing with Buddy, man. And yeah. And like, it's like, I knowing what I know now about the game of college football,
right.
And with the money and stuff, that Dillard stuff, it was bull. It was a whole lot of bull up in there, right. Because it's right. Like the way they expect these players to just mosey along. Well, you got all these people making millions of dollars off these players.
Right.
So I always thought that it was bull, but I wonder if he really knows his impact on a generation. Cause you ever notice how many players after him literally played like him?
I'm talking about, bro, it's been a replica ever since. Like, everybody's added their own little special sauce to it, but dog, there would never be another blueprint like him, bro. Like, and the stuff that he was given on that show, dog, like, nobody taught him those routes. Nobody taught him how to run routes or be a professional. Like, he had to learn all this stuff. Like, he self-taught himself to do all this shit, man. And that's what tripped me out. And, bro, I got a chance to witness this shit as a freshman in college. Yeah. I'm on the sidelines. He's in Chapel Hill up there when they play with us at the stadium, bro. And, dude, I'm witnessing all this. I'm witnessing greatness right in front of me, bro. I'm talking about, bro, this nigga did us so nasty. But the crazy thing about it, like, we used to work out together when I was, you know, when I was home and before I left and whatnot. I would work out with him. I would work out with Jaquay Nunnally and Lawrence and Lavernius Coles and all them boys. I would have that greatness around me, so I'm watching and learning myself. Mm-hmm. So to get that kind of, you know, rapport built early, man, and then to know where we both kind of just went later on in life and to bring that thing about full circle as our friendship is, I'm just happy to say, man, I'm one of the closest friends to my childhood idol, bro. Like, dead ass serious. Like, I'm talking about for real. Like, always have been admired that brother, man.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Well, that, and there's a lot of craziness in that. I'm not a big football fan now. Mm-hmm. I do, like, growing up, I watched those FSU teams. I definitely know who Peter Warrick is. And so when you mention those, like anytime somebody mentioned a football name and I'm like, oh, I know who that is. It, you know, yeah. To me, it's like, oh, that because I don't follow it. So, you know, you mention
right.
Some, like somebody playing nowadays, you can mention like the biggest.
Oh, they know them cats like that. No clue. Like for real.
Peter Warrick. Okay, yeah.
That's a household name. Like I'm talking about, it's been 20 plus years since his brother done touched the field, man. His name is still relevant, you know. Yeah. So you gotta, you know, I mean, credit like that all day, man. You know, we gotta get that when it's due.
Right.
The right. Other thing you mentioned though that I wanna give you props on, I did a daily podcast it wasn't really a podcast because, you know, back then they weren't calling them podcast, but I guess it was a podcast. Anyways, that's not here nor there. I did a daily show, if you will,
yeah,
a few minutes with Pat for about, I want to say maybe about a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of work that goes into doing a daily something is something that I don't think people really grasp. So when you say that you're doing a daily show, like that, I'm always like round of applause, like
right. Yeah. Thank you.
I know the type of work that goes into that is not easy to do.
It's at all. You know, and I'm like I said, I taught myself all the, still teaching myself too, man. And mm-hmm. You know, I'm still looking and searching and trying to find ways to perfect my show. I mean, I'm trying to get as close as I possibly can to perfection. And I'm still learning the show, man. I'm like, what, 7 months in now, going on eight, I think now about eight months. You know, and to have, I'm proud of myself just for sticking with it.
Yeah.
For real. Like, I mean, you never know what the responses are. You never know what or how people are receiving you, let alone perceiving you, you know. So you want to make sure that you're given a good image, you know, and you're in good spirits all the time. Like my boy Jay was telling me earlier, like, bro, you're always bubbly personality, that when I shared with him earlier, like, nah, I done overslept on some shows. That's supposed to be on at 9 and I'm coming on at 10:41. So at the end of the day, I know the mental, it can be so draining, yet it takes a physical and a mental drainage on you. It really does. Mm-hmm. And but it's so rewarding once you see all your work come together. And the thing about my show is live. So I'm editing, I'm doing all the splicing and all the scene transitions and stuff. Like, that's me. I'm doing all of that stuff. You know, while the show going on, I'm multitasking, and while I'm switching mm-hmm. screens and talking and still trying to continue and playing the music behind it and everything, like, all of that is me all at the same time. I don't have a team of nothing. I just had to work a system out for myself where I felt like if I can add it to make it better, I'm going to do it. And then I just want to make sure that whatever it is that I'm doing and constantly trying to make sure it's happening, that the people enjoying it and they want to come back and they constantly talking about it. And, you know, so far so good. Yeah. It's catching on a little bit.
So basically what I'm hearing is y'all two need to have a conversation about the behind the scenes technical stuff. That's what I'm hearing right now. Cause that's what Pat do. That's his life.
I can see.
Yeah.
If you know anything, if y'all see your stream, y'all, but if you know anything about OBS, brother, we got to really, really talk.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's what he owned. I knew that's what you was talking about.
Yeah.
I knew that's what, yeah.
Bro, we got to definitely talk because, yeah, I'm thinking you behind a wall. If that's green screen, you are amazing. For real, Jack.
You know, I alternate some weeks.
I see him.
Go ahead, brother. New thing. Yeah, you want to pop the collar on that one, Doc?
Because I do have a wall, right? But I take a picture of the wall, so I don't always want to be in front of your wall.
There it is.
Took a picture of the wall, and when I want to be in front of the wall, I green screen the wall behind me, and I just chill out wherever I'm chilling.
So, it is, dog. Yeah. It's gangster. But, so I'm using those.
OBS, I can help you out if you want.
Yeah.
Cool. So I want to get this one in before we get to our last question. And Pat, you know, sure. He got the last question. But what advice would you give to up and coming, either, and with that, what, and it could be advice that can go to either one realm or that can possibly touch all three realms, but like, okay, up and coming musicians, up and coming athletes, up and coming entrepreneurs, okay, hell, up and coming college students. What advice would you give just to the people to help them become successful in whatever pursuit that they choose?
Don't be afraid to fail. And okay, I don't want to sound cliche, but that is a real, real statement. You got to be so willing to accept failure at a place, bro. Man, hold on. People come out of the top. It's all good. Getting awesome. So it's all kind of things, man. That's definitely one that I definitely gotta of anything. I gotta make sure that's the main thing. Just, you can't be afraid to fail. You can't be afraid to just take up anything and not be able to follow or see it through. Like, a lot of people are scared to fail because they don't plan for what it is they're getting themselves into, or they don't prepare themselves for what they're getting themselves into. However, they know that they want to do it. They want to get involved. They want to make an impact. They want to be successful at it. They want to be legendary, yada, 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 all of that good stuff. But you never know if you're going to be that until you actually take the step. You can't be afraid to do it. Yeah. You got to try. You have to. Like, you have to literally become that person that you've never seen yourself be before. Yeah. You know, you have to literally transform your mind and transform your thoughts of yourself to abilities that you want to see yourself enhance, at the same time obtain. And if you can dream it, you can be it. If you believe it, you can see it. And I promise you, all that stuff happens once you decide to just do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, that's what's up. Yeah. A lot of people are afraid to do things. One, because they are worried about what other people think, or they're just like, oh man, I ain't good at it. But for real, like, I always think about, well, Colonel Sanders got told 1,011 times that his chicken was trash.
Right.
That's basically what they told him. Your chicken trash. But right. Then I think about it. Hey, Colonel Sanders ain't tougher than me. He ain't triller right. than me. Like, this old white man, he ain't triller than me. So if right. he ain't give up, I can't give up.
That's
how I look at it.
Right. That's real. Yeah. You know, and boy, that's an analogy I ain't never even took for myself on that one, Doc, because he sure got told no plenty of times.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to utilize that one, boy, because I'm going to give you credit for that one. I'm talking off on that one, boy. Hey, for real.
Straight up.
Yeah, that's real right there.
All right. So Pat, you got the last question. You know what the last question is, man. Ask your question, my brother.
What is it? I'm sorry, I'm just talking about some shit. My bad. So, if you were the all-knowing, all-powerful ruler of Zamunda, Wakanda, and the three nation states of Puerto Rico.
Okay.
If you were the powerful being of the world, the universe, what would you change about black people, and what would your message to black people be?
One thing I would change about black people, if I was the ruler of all the places, I'm talking about, that's a beautiful country. I don't even know what it looked like, but that's mine. That's mine. But one thing I would change, my brother, honestly, is the way we view each other. And what I mean by that is I would not allow us to be crabs in a barrel. I will allow us to be chutes and ladders. Because everywhere we trying to go up, no matter how many times we fall back down, the chute, we got somebody to push us back up that ladder.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that would be my thing that I'll definitely change, just our whole way we treat each other. That crab in the barrel mentality, we got to get past it. I myself alone, I'm not going to deny it. In past things in my life, I've been a victim of. However, I know that there are things that when you're patient and things come to you when you wait, it's always a great thing. And what was the last part?
What would your message to the people be?
What would my message to the people be?
Yeah, buddy.
I'ma leave y'all just how I leave my show every single night. I leave them with four things. One, stay smart. It's a lot of dumbass people out there. Two, stay safe. It's a lot of dangerous ass people out there. Three, stay clean. Wash your hands, wash your ass, all that good stuff. Because it's a lot of dirty ass people out there. And my last thing, stay your ass home. Because it ain't too many people that want to see your ass out there anyway.
Hey, I ain't mad at that. Hey, man, look. Authenticity is key. Bro, this shit is entertaining as hell. Yeah, I'm excited about it. No, but for real, because this is a, I know we're going to talk about it. This is a good interview because a lot of times, people come on platforms, not just on ours, but we see people on platforms and they, I'm astute now. Yeah. I've announced all the letters. Now you don't talk like that. You eat,
man.
We eat prison chips. All right. We drink Coke. We go to the corner store. We don't go to, there are no convenience stores. We got corner stores and we go get prison chips. And absolutely, that's how we get down, you know. Yeah. So I love the authenticity, but within that, you're like, I'm a regular person, but I know exactly who I am, where I'm come from. I'm educated. Yeah. I'm up on my culture. I'm up on all these things, but I am from the South Side of Tallahassee. So if you expect me to learn this and become somebody else, I can only be the greatest version of myself.
I'm sorry, I can't do it to him. I can, hey, listen, boy, I won't be a great representation of myself. But you said it clear, just like that. Okay, you can take me out the hood. Easy. But y'all ain't finna remove that hood shit from me. I'm telling you. Master Green, all that stuff, don't give a damn about none of that. Listen, I sit down, shoot shit, shit a boo boo with every last one of y'all. It's no problems whatsoever. Oh, hey, and I got to let your viewers know, Joe, when are you supposed to come on my show?
In February,
February 19th. Everybody, please tune in to the feature with CJ3. Go subscribe right now. My boy, Joseph Ward, will be on the feature. I'm featuring him. I'm paying homage right back to my brother. Bringing him to my show, on my show, February 19th. So after Valentine's Day, all that good love and everything, y'all can go get some more love on the 19th and come out and me and my boy Joe Doug. We gonna talk about all kinds.
Hey, if y'all like this, you gonna love that. I'm bringing my ignorant self.
I'm a vouch right for that. It's if the show is going over there.
Yes. My boy will be on my show. Absolutely. Yes, so y'all make sure y'all go subscribe and tune in February 9th, 9 p.m. on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch under the feature with CJ3. Just like
there that. There you go. So, man, how can people get in contact with you? How can they follow you on social media? How can they follow the podcast? How can they get in contact with you about sports management, anything like that?
Okay, it's a lot of stuff, people, and please write it down if you got to, or rewind this, or hit the repeat button on replay. But find me on Facebook, Clifford Jackson. To find me on Facebook for Right Touch Sports, you can go actually Right Touch Sports Management, and I'm on there on Facebook. Go on to Right Touch Spore. That's with R, not a T, and number one for Instagram. You can go and check me out on Twitter under Right Touch Sports. Also check me out under YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, and on Facebook. I have a fan page as well for the featured, with a D at the end of feature, the featured with CJ3. You can go check that out everywhere. Hit me up. You can always email me at thefeatured.cj3@gmail.com. Hit me up, righttouchsports@gmail.com for those athletes that's trying to get yourselves out there. Or if you just want to hit me up and converse with me one-on-one, just get some advice from me, or you try to get yourself into some other stuff, 850-203-0311. Everybody get that? All right, so 850-203-0111. There it is. So I meant to say 3-1. So it's 111-0111.
And lady folk, this man is talking about business, right? Talking about business, right?
All business, right? All business, all business.
Keep it clean.
Yeah.
You know they thirsty.
All business, all about the business.
Hey, it's all good. Yeah, man, definitely appreciate you coming by the show, man. I'm so glad that we ran into each other at the food distribution.
Yeah, man, that was good.
The Halloween thing. Yes, sir.
I've been eating off my community health plate too.
Right, right.
I've been eating off my community health plate that was in the bag. I've been holding that down. That's been my microwave friend, bro. I'm telling you. I've been eating up everything on
there. And it doubled as a frisbee.
And it's been as a frisbee, too. Do not play. Okay. So, yeah, man, I appreciate that, dog. But, yeah, it's been a pleasure. It's been a privilege, man. I have had so much fun. You and Pat, y'all got a great chemistry, dog. Y'all keep this thing going. I'm just happy I'm finally done hit the freedom train.
Hey, man,
I'm
look at him.
Doing my toot toot, bitch. I've been on it. I'm good. I'm here. Yeah. So the stage has been burnt down.
All right.
I'm here.
Yes, sir. Hey, so stay on. We're gonna end it, but I want you to stay on. So we're gonna go back behind the stage.
Absolutely.
But man, everybody already know what it is, man. Mr. Clifford Jackson III, the incredible Clifford Jackson III. This is the Freedom Train podcast series. Yeah, it don't get no better than this, man. We told y'all we got the realest podcasting over here. www.freedomtrainradio.com. He's Patrick Irvin, Mr. Clifford Jackson. I'm Joseph Ward, and we up out this piece. Holla at a player when you see me in the streets.